in a world where options are limitless, but time is not. Two heroes take a stand against injustice and overwhelming viewing choices. Starring Jane Ellen.
I don't see how the human race survived the medieval period.
And Adam Cravens.
A lot of them didn't.
This is Binge or Cringe. A podcast that lets you know what's worth watching and what's not. From the Henson Oakley Podcast Center and Rock 93.7.
Hello and welcome to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
I have watched some television.
I don't believe it. I'll need to see proof before I accept that this has happened.
Oh, but it has. Now, and I'm actually going to try to reference things instead of going, you know, that one, that thing, that, you know, that thing. Amy Schumer.
Yes.
Has a new show, a new comedy special on the Netflix. And it is funny. Amy Schumer is pregnant now. If you've ever seen an Amy Schumer special, she expresses herself in a certain way that is very...
Which seems to be however she wants to do it.
Yes. Now, I do find her funny, and I, however, and you know, I don't really have a problem with words and images and stuff, but I found this special where she is actually a little toned down to be her funniest.
That's interesting.
Yes. Now, maybe it's because she's going through some things that I went through, but she has a condition. I forgot the name of the condition. And she said, of course, she never heard of it till she found out she had it. I don't know when she filmed this. She's probably due to have the baby any time now. But she has some sort of condition where she just doesn't have morning sickness. It is violent, as in 24 hours. She's had to be hospitalized 3 times because it's just violent sickness. And it's, again, some condition that ends with an is, something sis. Anyway, so...
You should be a doctor.
I know I should. So she has that going on. She's recently become married. And it turns out that her husband is on the spectrum. He has Asperger's, though apparently we don't say that anymore. I have to tell my nephew who has Asperger's that we don't say that anymore. You have something-something disorder. You're on the spectrum.
Thank you. Thank you, doctor.
Anyway, saying how her husband reacts to things and how he can't lie, just hilarious stuff, really. And
did you happen to watch any of her show on comedy, Inside Amy Schumer?
Yeah.
Like her react, like she is a genuinely talented.
Yes.
She did what was the movie? She did one with Judd Apatow. I think Trainwreck.
I think so. Yeah.
I want to say I don't know that I've seen a whole lot with her in it that I wasn't like, okay, this is funny.
Yes, she is funny. She has a great sense of timing.
I don't know if she's necessarily family-friendly, but
no,
she is funny.
But this one had enough. Now, my girls are 13 and 12 going on, 45 and 6,
I would say it's probably older.
Like. Yes. It has crossed my mind that they could handle most of it. There are some parts, no. But compared to her other specials, where her other specials, I would say 90% of it, This one, it's almost like the reverse. Just going on and talking about something, of course, you heard me say this many, many times, how you hear people going on about, oh, I love my pregnancy, I'm just going to have a great time. And, you know, she's retching constantly, and she says, I hope you get hit by a train. You know, stuff like that. Because... Well,
age, marriage, like children, like even if you'll look at, like, say, the evolution of somebody like Dennis Leary,
mm-hmm.
like if you'll look at No Cure for Cancer, like you think he's going to hurt somebody or himself, like in that stand up routine. By the time you get to Lock and Load,
mm-hmm.
like he's talking about his kids, like putting peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, like in his
ears.
Well, VCR.
Okay.
Which shows you when this was made.
Yes.
He's got like his big surround sound set up, and he's going to watch Apocalypse Now, and the tape won't fit in there. And then he's just like, what's going on? They're just, what? Why does my VCR taste like raspberry? Like, what is... Whereas in the first one, he's talking about like making like hubcaps, like at a like baby seals and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's not unheard of to kind of see somebody transition into maybe a more relaxed or a kind of a different phase of that.
And and they're, as comedians and people, they're in a different part of their lives. It's a different perspective. And I just, I found her funnier. And what was great, she's wearing, I was watching, I was going, is that a long shirt or just a really short dress? I still don't have the answer, but part of her routine was, as thankfully it did not happen to me because I would have freaked out, but she was very close to delivering. And so when that happens, sometimes a woman's belly button will reverse itself. She has hers duct taped down because she can't stand to look at it. So naturally, she has to show everyone. Didn't expect that.
I submit to you as well that she may just have been speaking more to you. Like, I don't know that she's, I haven't watched it. I don't know that it's necessarily funnier or less funny or more funny. But like when I watched Ghostbusters when I was six, it was just this neat movie about catching ghosts. Like, I was just fascinated by that.
Or busting them.
I mean, I don't think they ever actually bust a ghost, like, in the traditional sense one thinks of by that verb.
They did imprison.
Plus, ghost catching isn't as, it's not as catchy. Yeah. But when I watch Ghostbusters when I'm 16 or 15, and I start listening to, like, Bill Murray, and I'm just like, whoa, there was this whole other, like, there was this
subtext.
Different color spectrum I couldn't see whenever I was five or six.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is brilliant, and I'm not just talking about the part where they catch the ghost, which is, by the way, still fantastic.
Yep. So I found it, it is in no way family friendly, but with some editing, it might be for some.
The 14 going on 40 edit.
Yeah, and I actually, some of it's so funny, I may have to rewatch it and like look at the runtime to see so I can just skip over a few things. Mm-hmm. She was talking, she did a great bit on being proposed to and how in the movies everyone is always, oh, I didn't even know you liked me. You know, it's a big surprise when, as you know and I know, okay, I don't know anyone that happened to, but
no, it's
you
a discussion,
you just,
Yeah. Should we, you know, do we need to be like moving in together? Like, are you interested in,
it's
in
a whole
that?
Thing.
Do you want to keep this cat? I have never thought about just being like, yeah, I'm going to take this $5,000. I'm going to get a ring and I'm just going to surprise her.
Yeah, and
just
see what happens.
Boom. And she'd just be like, oh, this is, no.
So, she has, she said her husband was not on his knees and she would only want him there, and I'll just stop talking. So, there are some parts that are not for the kids, but it is funny and it's interesting to see her progression. Now, in a totally, I was not giddy, but happy with something I stumbled upon after I saw it and made fun of it in my head. First of all, did you ever watch, and you're this kind of guy, but I think you probably must have watched Felicity.
I didn't, though, interestingly enough. That is from J.J. Abrams.
Yes.
Which, retroactively, like, had I known that then, I think it would have made me more interested. But J.J. Abrams also wrote the fishing movie with Joe Pesci and Danny Glover. So, under like Jacob Abrams or something like that?
Well, the big thing about Felicity is about a girl who goes to college, and then she cuts her hair. When she cut her hair, it was a big deal, but at the end, she has to choose between the two guys, one who she meets as her RA, played by Scott Foley, and the other who is not Scott Foley, but another Scott, also handsome, forgot his name.
Stupid problems.
I know. Much like Pretty in Pink, she chose the wrong one. She should have chosen Scott Foley. This has stayed with me. Scott Foley's girlfriend in Felicity was Jennifer Garner, his wife.
Who J.J. Abrams then casts in Alias.
Yes. So if you do watch just a few episodes of Felicity, you're going to recognize a lot of people if you watch as much stuff
Mission
as
we Impossible
do.
3, when he needed a female, like, special agent for Tom Cruise to interact with.
Mm-hmm.
Cast Carrie Russell. I'm just, J.J. Yes. Abrams, once he likes you, he just puts you everywhere. It's like being Kevin Smith's friend or Adam Sandler's friend.
Again, we're open to all of these things. So, let me make sure I tell you. I watched this on Hulu. It is an ABC show. And so I see just a photo of Scott Foley, enough for me to stop and look. Scott Foley is one of those everyman types. He's not, like, scary handsome. He's an approachable, attractive man. And he's not the kind that's so pretty it's like, you know? He's just an everyman. And manly.
Sure, yeah.
He's got that.
I know masculine.
I know. He's got that happening.
I ran into it once.
Now.
I saw it. It was at a party. But I was several feet away.
The name of the show, which made me laugh, is Whiskey Cavalier. So already I'm thinking of something stupid like, you know, the Gold Monkeys thing from the 80s.
Really like sounds like a thing like they
Whiskey Cavalier.
They have to say like in the military whenever they're called, like it's a call sign. It's like, Whiskey Cavalier Tango, we are preparing for the dropship. Like, that's what that sounds like to me.
His real name in the show is Will Chase.
But he's a Whiskey Cavalier.
Whiskey Cavalier.
Is that his job?
No. Well, he does drink whiskey.
Like that. I picture someone with like a sword. Like no, that's a musketeer.
Here's
never mind.
How.
This I'm is, thinking of a whiskey musketeer.
This is how. This is an ABC show. I was far more entertained than I expected to be watching this. Much like Nathan Fillion's The Rookie. I check in on that. I do watch it because it's just...
It's Nathan Fillion.
Yeah. Yeah. I may even like this better and wish Nathan Fillion was in this as well. But The Rookie, a good call there.
I constantly experience wanting Nathan Fillion
to be
every,
in stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, if he just showed up like in Star Trek Discovery one day. If I just saw Nathan Fillion, I wouldn't be mad.
No. He could just walk past the camera, look, and keep going.
If he just showed up and, like, ate my cheeseburger one day, I still don't think I'd be mad.
Oh, no.
Like, I'd be hungry, but I wouldn't be mad.
Never mad at
like,
Nate.
That was Nathan Fillion ate my cheeseburger.
Boom. So, this is a show about spies and stuff. So, you're writing this pilot. How are you going to start introducing the characters, the very first scene of a show called Whiskey Cavalier? How do you start it, Adam?
See, I'm putting him on a horse, and he's swashbuckling, and he has boots, and he's putting Z's on things.
He is sobbing.
Oh, well, that's a different...
In a chair.
It's not very
listening,
James Bond-y.
Listening.
You said he's a secret agent, right?
Listening to Total Eclipse of the Heart. That is how it begins, because, you see, Will Chase has feelings, and he has empathy, and he is not emotionally distant, and that is his thing. That's what makes him different.
So he's the direct opposite of, like, Daniel Craig's James Bond.
Exactly. And so he proposed to his girlfriend, and that didn't work out. And so the breakup is still haunting him. However, he still has a job to do, and he is employed by the FBI, and they are in Paris, and then they're in London, and it's a lot of Europe stuff.
Sure.
So,
globetrotting and what have you.
Right. When they opened with that, it was like, huh, this intrigues me. And there is a snappy patter.
Well, it's almost cliche, like, for if you're a secret agent, like, you do that big bombastic, like, you know, the Mission Impossible, like, mm-hmm. opening, the James Bond, like, it's just, you know, you're falling from, like,
right.
the sky
now
and,
that,
like, your parachute, won't, like...
Those things are happening. I mean, this really, in the whatever 43 minutes it was, this felt a lot like a mini-movie. Because of the location, production value, the stunts. They even had a discount Will Smith because he said, and I quote, oh, hell no. So, and it is much like the origin story of all these great teams that work together. It's, oh, she's a secret agent? No, she works for the CIA. And her name is, are you ready? Fiery Tribune. And she is the opposite of emotionally available. She is distant.
It's a good juxtaposition.
It sure is. So, after all this stuff happens in the pilot, all these other people you meet, they all end up walking, I think in slow motion in front of a fan, not sure. But they become a team, and they're going to go from place to place solving crime. The stunts are above and beyond what you would expect, or at least what I expect. They're above T.J. Hooker stunts. Not to say those weren't good stunts.
T.J. Hooker is a cop show from the 1970s. For those of you that don't know anything about T.J. Hooker, it is not about a hooker. Just in case anybody maybe went off there. I understand everybody doesn't know William Shatner's filmography the way that I do.
They wouldn't be listening, though.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true.
So, I really was surprised with Whiskey Cavalier, how entertaining I found it. Because there is some part that you know, there are just things that are going to happen.
Yeah.
Because it's that kind. It's almost like a funny Bourne movie.
Or like the way that you'd expect like a shootout in a Western. Like,
yes.
There are certain tropes of that genre that like you're going to, it's the reason why it's part of that genre.
And you know, and this is spoiler, but you know that the guy he has to go and collect and that the CIA agent has to go and collect the guy who's not Will Smith, you know he's a good guy, even though he is, air quotes, a traitor, but he's not. But you can just tell. You can tell he's going to be around because there's a lot of chemistry. It is nicely done. And the fact that his superpower, so to speak, is his feelings, which is really different for this type of genre, makes it even more entertaining and a little surprising.
Well, I mean, if I'm at the pitch meeting, which I've never been in, and I'm trying to sell something that doesn't just seem like something that you've seen either three or four times or is currently airing on that network, like an emotionally available super spy.
Yeah.
That's a good pitch.
Yeah.
Right there. I'm just saying, like, you've got me at least listening at that point and going, okay, all right, well, okay, tell me more about that.
Mm-hmm. So it's really well done and entertaining, and I went in with no expectation at all except his stupid name. I'll watch him. And I was entertained.
Well, I mean, you've got to have some kind of hook. And sometimes it is, I'll watch him. You know, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, like I said, if you see that little, you know, bumper, the trailer or whatever for it, the 20-second thing.
I didn't even see that. I saw the name and I thought, that's ridiculous. Scott Foley? Boom. I had to find out what it was because, like, stupid name. Oh, okay, I get it.
Well, there are some actors, you want. You want to see it like the aforementioned Nathan Fillion. Mm-hmm. Like, if you will put Nathan Fillion in something, you've probably got my attention.
Oh, for sure.
For at least that first episode. I'll check it out. Like, put him in a movie. If you put him in one of those stupid infomercials, like, I would probably, I'd just be like, well, I don't want to buy whatever this is. But you got 5 minutes, Nathan Fillion. Mm-hmm.
If Mindy Kaling's in something, I feel confident I'm going to be entertained, at least the parts that she's in.
Well, I mean, okay, Superman 4.
And John
Terrible
Krasinski.
Movie.
John Krasinski is another one.
Chris Reeve, still good in that movie. Like, mm-hmm. you can be good in a bad thing. Like, even if everything around you is not, like, perfect, you can still sit there and go, okay, well, my burger is burnt, but the cheese
spectacular.
Was delectable.
So that's what's going on. I sometimes hate to say that I like something because then it will just disappear. I was afraid to say I liked The Good Place, but apparently everyone else caught on, so that's still around.
So it's still in a good place.
We were going to talk about Champions, which has to do with Mindy Kaling, and now it ended up getting canceled. It was a really funny show, and then the male lead is now a female lead, and I guess it's a good thing because that would have really change the dynamic of
yeah when you
the
change
show.
Genders of things yeah
yeah
y'all
but it was a good show anyway. So that's the TV that I have watched most recently, and I just enjoyed this ever so. Now, what I meant to watch, geez, I have to look it up. There's something that Hulu keeps wanting me to watch, and it's a mother and daughter, and it looks like the daughter may be ill in some fashion. It's like, you know, so-and-so and her daughter relocate to this, and I went, no. And it keeps wanting me to watch it, and I keep not wanting to watch
it. Can you just tell it no?
Yeah. I saw some reviews saying that it was cloying and pretentious and this and that. So why don't you watch it for me?
I have something to do on that day. Adam, it's Hulu. It's streaming. You can watch it whenever you want. The quality of my video is not satisfying enough.
And because this needs to be said over and over, of the many shows that are binge-worthy, I am thrilled and delighted that my children argue over watching 30 Rock and The Office.
It is kind of that
I'm
double
winning.
It's the same situation that Solomon got into when both of the women wanted the baby. Like, who do you give it to? Like, what do you do I watch 30 Rock? Do I watch The Office? Like, how do I make that decision? Simple. You cut the television in half.
Either way, I'm happy. And I'm happy that that is the decision that they're arguing about that. Not some, can we watch this incredibly annoying anime or can we watch that? No, we can watch this. And speaking of anime that's not annoying, I did purchase Into the Spider-Verse and enjoyed it even more the second time around.
The boys got to sit down and watch it. Like, it was funny to explain to my wife about the characters in it. Like, she knows who knows who Spider-Man is.
Does whatever a spider can.
And I'm like, well, there's Spider-Noir. It's voiced by Nicolas Cage. He's like, I'm giving all these, but like I said, there's also Spider-Ham. He comes from the universe where Spider-Man is a pig. His name is Peter Porker. And she's just like, no, it's not. And I'm like, really? I promise you.
Is he getting his own show, his own movie? Because Anna Grace now really, really is into John Mulaney, who I love every inch of. You're listening to Binge or Cringe from the Hints and Oakley Podcast Center. Jane Ellen talking with Adam Cravens.
Into the Spider-Verse was a financial success, and then it earned Best Animated, like, Picture. I am really surprised that DC hasn't announced, like, kind of their equivalent, like, doing a Batman Beyond, like, Into the Bat-Verse. Like, don't call it that, but I'm saying, like...
I picture someone taking notes in a dark room. Bat-verse.
Well, I'm just telling if you release a movie that has, like, five different iterations of Batman in it, like, I'm watching that thing.
Of course,
like,
you are.
That's a great, and I understand, like, it's just copying their Into the Spider-Verse, but, like, it's a really great, like, I think when you and I talked about it, like, it's probably the best Spider-Man movie they've ever made.
As a cohesive film that entertained me throughout. Yes.
And you get two Peter Parkers for the price of, like...
And one of them's Captain Kirk.
Like, it's just, it is so much fun.
Yeah.
Like, if you have not seen Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, like, even if you don't follow the Oscars or you don't trust them or anything, or you don't look at box office receipts, I'm just saying, like, the movie, even if you are not, like, into superheroes, it's just a fun movie that they happen to be able to shoot, like, webs out of their wrists.
Right. So, again, two words. John Mulaney. Also worth binge-watching all of his comedy and all of Jim Gaffigan's, because the girls are now getting into stand-up comedy. And Jenna said, so people pay to watch someone else just stand up and talk to them? And it's like, yes!
And the great thing about that for the stand-up, like, is that's a really cheap effect. Like, when you're, you know, like, in a band and you've got to, you know, shoot, like, pyrotechnics and like you get a transport, like all that stuff, and you've got a drum set and there's a light show and all that. Like that gets expensive. The great thing about being a stand-up comedian, like you just show up. Like maybe you tuck in your shirt, maybe you don't.
I have to talk about this some more. Having just watched all of the John Mulaney specials back to back and in a row, having binged John Mulaney, I saw all of them separately, but as my oldest watched them for the first time, I was struck by his movement. It was just everything about him bodily was theatrical. I don't know how practiced that was because we don't spend as much time together as we used to. But for instance, you know, most everyone, I know I would, if I was talking for an hour, I would have a water somewhere. It's on a stool or it's whatever. His would be down by the stage lights. And it's almost like a dance move that does not interrupt what he's saying when he's just, oh, he's down, he's up. It's a lunge. It's, you know, street smarts. It's,
I think it they develop it as part of like their case. Like go back and watch like Raw or Delirious. Mm-hmm. Like Eddie Murphy is constantly like moving or he's sitting down. Like stand up comedians almost, like I said, they've got that cadence, like not just in the way that they talk, but also in the way that they move, so that like it's kind of like an unconscious like comfort to the audience. Like you can tell when somebody is nervous, mm-hmm. or you can tell when like they're anxious. Or something like that. Like once you kind of incorporate that into your act, or if you've got a really like non-assuming demeanor, like I think it can almost improve your stand-up to a certain point.
And yet Gaffigan does the exact opposite of Mulaney, and he truly just stands. And that's for the ladies.
Parks and Rec. The main, one of the main characters, the male, I cannot think of his name right now.
Aziz.
No, the bearded.
The bearded male.
He loves bacon. I cannot think of his name right now.
Chris Pratt?
No, not Pratt. It's the older, what is his name?
That guy. He's married to, what's her face from Will and Grace?
Yes.
Yeah, him.
Like, if you have his stand-up routine.
That guy.
Like
he voices a lot of stuff. I don't know why I can't think of his name.
It is a whole lot about like him.
Nick,
like
Nick
Offerman.
Offerman. Oh, I'm so sorry.
We're real
Nick.
Close. He takes off his shirt like mm-hmm. during some of it, and like if you don't know
Offerman. Sorry.
He talks about.
I'm sorry,
about,
Nick, because we do love you.
It's basically like.
He's coming to Nashville. What?
It's basically about, like, the brawny man. Like, it is so, like, patriotically flag way. Like, it's just. It's another one that's worth your time.
By the way, Offerman will be doing a show at the Ryman in November. Just putting that out there.
It's worth watching. If it's anything like any of the rest of his specials.
Tickets are 71 each, Adam.
I have seen Daniel Tosh at the Ryman twice.
Okay.
Like it is actually a great theater for that. And like whenever, as long as you don't like shoot it up, like if you're asking like $250, I'll just wait for the next Netflix special. But seeing a stand-up show live, if you have not, like it's a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like seeing a concert like on TV versus like being at the concert. Like it's
instance,
a different atmosphere.
Seeing it on TV is the better way to see it because no one is there to bug you.
Well, you and I also ingest our media like through different platforms, and like apparently like we like being like soloists in that.
Yes.
In that regard.
I don't ask me to clap along because you are then invading the happy place that I was in.
Don't,
I just want to watch.
Don't tell me to sing. I paid to hear you
yes,
sing it.
If, precisely.
If I want to hear me sing this, I'll just go over there and sing it.
Right.
Paid $70 to hear you do it. Let's get with this.
Precisely. That's why we get along so well.
Exactly.
You know,
we sensed that about the other one we met. We're like, this person does not like to be in social scenarios.
No, I used to always get anxious when I was at any type of performance and the performers were in the aisles.
I just,
I don't. I don't want to participate.
I paid for this seat. Like, no, magician, I don't want you to saw me, but I will watch you saw someone else in half.
I have no interest in participating in your show, and it will not make me, the patron, enjoy it more.
True. All of these statements
are true. Yes. So that's the TV I watched. So to revisit, by all means, binge watch John Mulaney. Throw in Gaffigan as well. We could go on, but those are the ones I actually watched in the past week. And you wonder, how do you have time to do all this? I make the time. Anyway, Whiskey Cavalier is on ABC, also on the Hulu. Entertaining. And also the kind of thing where you're entertained if you're watching it, like I'm sitting, I'm focused, but just to hear it would be entertaining enough, to, like if you have something on while you're doing other things.
It's also worth noting that it's not the Netflix or the Hulu, much like it is not the Facebook.
Well, you say.
If you're looking it up, I'm just saying, like, they're probably going to cross that part of your Google search out and just be like, did you mean just Facebook?
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Why did you put this article in?
And the Amy Schumer stand-up as well. It is, I think, worth your time. And it's called Growing, and she has indeed grown.
Growing and showing, as it were.
She said, you know, how as celebrities, when they're pregnant, it's like, ooh, baby bump, that kind of thing. She said, I was well into my second trimester. Nobody even thought I was pregnant. She was like, yeah, I know. So I feel you. Very entertaining.
I do not doubt it in the least.
And to finish our binge or cringe without falling into the rabbit hole, who would you, other than me, want to binge a whole day of TV with? I'm not saying what you're watching, but who do you want to be watching
it with? Probably Victor or Matthew. Like
famous people.
Oh, famous people. I was just I would probably like I would say like someone like Nathan Fillion or maybe like Robert Downey Jr. I want somebody that's going to be able to quip with me and do so amusingly.
Yes. Good quippage.
Like, I mean, that's part of, like, binge watching things and, like, discussing them with the person that you're doing. I don't want somebody that can't keep up with me or doesn't understand my references.
Right.
Or, like, then it just makes it awkward for all of us. Like, because I'm not just going to keep throwing out, like, these gems if you're not going to appreciate them.
For instance, dare I say, Kevin Smith.
I've listened to his podcasts, like I've seen his film. He seems like he would be very like just. I mean, he is kind of a chatty Cathy.
Yes.
But he also seems to be able to toss out that occasional like bon mot, like on the spot as well.
I have nothing but love for him, and I feel that we would enjoy ingesting media together.
Speaking of which, he is shooting Jay and Silent Bob reboot right now.
I thought you were going to say. In Nashville.
No. That would be nice.
Yes.
It's been 2 years.
I mean, I'm excited, but...
He was in Zany's, I want to say 2 years ago.
I was about to be more excited, but then it stopped.
He's been there before.
All right. So that's it. Binge or Cringe is a lot of stuff to watch. And again, you have to be willing to commit. You made time for your job. Make time for your show.
I have found out, especially when people tell you stuff like, hey, let's hang out. And they're like, I just don't have the time. You make time for the things that are important to you.
Exactly.
If you like to eat blocks of cheese, I guarantee you will find a way, a time, and a place to eat that block of cheese.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to do something, then you just don't do it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not about not having time. Because you will create the time. You won't sleep there. You'll skip this. Maybe you stop this early.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to do something, you're perfectly capable of doing it.
You absolutely are.
And if people tell you that they just don't have the time, it means they don't like you.
It's true.
Just putting it out there.
Anyway, there's lots of stuff for you to do. And next week we'll have watched other things. At the moment, I don't know what they are. But maybe I'll watch some of those things that have been suggested to me that I do not want to see, just so I can tell you how awful they are.
That I mean, sometimes we gotta cringe.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes we do. So thank you for listening to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
Binge or Cringe, starring Jane Ellen and Adam Cravens, is a Hints and Oakley Podcast Center production. Listen to new or past podcasts anytime at rock937online.com.